Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday, January the 30th, and again, we have a big night for all of our listeners. We'll be listening in a few minutes here to the post-race audio from the Rolex 24. We know that Wayne Taylor Racing won that race, and they were pretty excited about that. And we'll hear all of the drivers' post-race comments, including Wayne Taylor, after the race in just a few minutes. Then at our 9 o'clock half hour, we have a live guest with Ruben Garcia Jr. From Rev Racing. He was recently announced as a member of the Drive for Diversity program. He was part of that program last year and will be again part of that program this year, racing with Rev Racing in the Can-Am Pro Series East. So we'll talk to him about all of that coming up during our 9 o'clock half hour. Then at 9:30, we have a returning guest. Steve Hughes is coming back. He is the Director of Operations and Marketing. He also does announcing at Kern County Raceway, and they have a big event coming up in February with the SRL Tours Winter Showdown. So that is going to be a huge event, a lot of big names racing in that event, and we'll talk with Steve Hughes about all of that during the 9:30 half hour. Now, joining me in a little bit here is going to be Sal Segala. He may not make it for this first half hour, but I do expect him to be returning on the show here sometime before our 9 o'clock guest. So with that, I want to go ahead and get started with our post-race audio from the Rolex 24. Wayne Taylor Racing has been trying to win this race for a number of years, and they feel like business is finished finally with the Rolex 24, with four drivers winning that race this weekend, including Ricky and Jordan Taylor, Max the Axe Angeli, and Jeff Gordon, a NASCAR driver, someone that a lot of NASCAR fans are familiar with, were all part of that Rolex, that Wayne Taylor Racing team that won the Rolex 24. Of course, they drove the number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac, and a little bit of controversy at the end of the race. Ricky Taylor and Albuquerque got into a little bit of a scuffle there with Albuquerque not really spinning out and not really getting the finish that they were looking for. But according to Ricky Taylor, he feels that he was in clear view of Albuquerque and that he held his line where Albuquerque, I think, was trying to block him and came down, and that's what caused the crash. Of course, there's always different perspectives, and we respect that. But that what I'm giving you now is the perspective from Ricky Taylor, who was driving the number 10 at that time. So definitely something for race fans to be aware of as we get ready now to listen to the post-race audio from the Rolex 24. You're going to hear from Wayne Taylor and all four of the drivers during the race during the event. So let's go ahead and get started with that now.
Okay, we're joined by our prototype and overall winners in the 55th Rolex 24 at Daytona, co-drivers of the number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac DPI VR, Ricky Taylor, Jordan Taylor, Max Angeli, and Jeff Gordon. This is the first ever Rolex 24 victory for Cadillac. First Rolex 24 victory for Jordan, Ricky, and Jeff. This is the second Rolex 24 victory for Max. Last time was 2005. This was also Max's final race, which we will get into in a moment. Jeff's only previous Rolex 24 start came with the same team in 2007, and he finished third with Wayne, Max, and Jan Magnussen as co-drivers that day. 15th U.S. sports car, major U.S. sports car victory for Jordan and Ricky. Eighth in the WeatherTech Championship. The other seven came in Grand Am. 28th career U.S. sports car win for Max. The margin of victory was 0.671 seconds. As a note, the closest margin of victory in series history or in Rolex 24 history was 0.167 seconds in 2009. So not quite a record, but obviously very, very close. So, gentlemen, congratulations. Wayne, why don't you take the first word, if you could. You know, there was a lot of talk about unfinished business throughout this entire run up to the Rolex 24. Looks like you've finished that business, and tell us what this one means to you.
Yeah, I got to thank everybody certainly for being here, but Cadillac, Max and I drove back in early 2000, part of our career, and the program ended shortly, but I always believed that and wanted to come back with Cadillac and have this unfinished business. And I think today with Ricky, Jordan, Max and Jeff, they gave it to me. And it's just been such an honor to have Jeff on board. You know, he came in 2007 with us. We finished third when I was still driving. And another special thing is that Max and I were teammates for so many years, and it's not anything that I've ever hidden before or today. He was always the worst teammate I ever had. but we won the 24-hour together in 2005, and we won the championship together. And now he wins the 24-hour with my kids, which is, really, really special. And I just have to thank my boys and Jeff and Max and Konica Minolta and Cadillac and my friends Mike Matei and just everybody that has supported me over these years. As I said to Jeff, in sports car racing, it's not like NASCAR. We race for the love of the sport. We actually pay to race. And so we lose money every single year. And Jeff makes the money.
That's why I race for free.
No, and I got to tell you something. Can you believe it? I got him for free. And in fact, I made him pay for the paint on the car. So, of course, he sold it to his sponsor. But I got to tell you, I don't know how anybody could top this. I really don't. And thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Jeff, let's move over to you. You've won races here, certainly at Daytona International Speedway. You've won the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup a few times in your career. How special is this one?
Well, and hearing Wayne talk about this experience and what this means to him, and I don't limit that to just here in this moment. I think about starting that out in 2007 when we spoke and I was able to be a part of the team then. I saw it then and I followed it very closely ever since. I've become a big fan of this team by being a part of it, a big fan of the series, this race especially. And I was so thankful when I got that call from Wayne earlier this year or in 2016. And he asked me, if I wanted to be a part of this, and then, of course, told me about the Cadillac program that they were working on, and I just couldn't believe it. It was like a dream come true for me because I've always dreamt about driving a car, a beautiful, amazing, car that could handle like this, that had the technology like this, and compete in a race like this. So, this is very surreal to me, this whole experience and moment to have this in on my resume. I mean, it's a very elite group that's won the Daytona 500 and the Rolex 24 together. That's something I'm very, very proud of. But I think more than anything is this experience for me of not to take anything away from 2007, Max, and I realized in 2007 what an amazing race car driver both of these guys are, and how difficult this race is. But these two over here, this experience to me was about building this bond and this friendship that I didn't expect to happen because of the way they welcomed me in, and we had a lot of fun along the way. They answered all my questions because I had a lot of them, and they helped me adapt, and that's what helped us as a group, I think, to go out there and win. And then I was able to learn just how talented they are. And I was so impressed over the watching all night. I was glued to the TV every second, every lap. I couldn't sleep because I wanted to watch these guys do what they did in the rain and the cold and the most treacherous conditions. And they did it at a level that, I'll be honest, I'm not capable of doing. And I was so impressed. So then you go to the last stint in this final race of a 24-hour race, and you see it come down to that, and it was a thrill of a lifetime. And I'm just so honored to be sitting here and be a part of this experience.
Jeff is the fourth driver to win the Daytona 500 and the Rolex 24, joining A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti, and Jamie McMurray.
Not bad company.
Not at all.
Not bad.
we'll keep going with our questions here before we open up for questions to the group. Jordan, why don't we move over to you if we could? Obviously, clearly, long time coming for the team, and you guys have been on the podium here quite frequently at the Rolex 24, but. First time today, you get to stand on the top of it. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, the past 4 years and now five with this year, we've had flawless runs. We've never gone to the garage. We've never lost a lap. It's always just been tires, fuel, and driver. And thankfully, we had another one of those days today. One of our guys wasn't actually with us. Who was with us every one of those races? Adam Bannett. He actually left Thursday morning because he had his first child Thursday morning. And he was watching the race on TV, and it was kind of scary for all of us because he's the guy who wired the entire car. Any little glitch with anything, he was our guy. So lots of people came together for us from other partners that Max can probably explain, but I know I was scared going into it with him not being here, knowing how much he does. He designed the entire wiring loom for the Cadillacs, all the Cadillacs, from our team, so... It was a big deal, and it's kind of sad that he wasn't here with us for this victory, but he was definitely, a big part of it.
Max, let's move over to you. As we talked about last race and go out on top, I would imagine that's probably a pretty pretty good feeling.
Hi, it is wonderful. I'm just speechless. I could not believe it. What better than this? And I'm very happy. Happy for what I did and what I achieved with the boys and Jeff today. Finished my career with a win, a big win like this one, a Rolex 24. It's great. And, I'm thankful and thankful to, to the Taylors, the family, to, I don't know how to say in English, but, like Wayne said, I was the worst teammate. It really mean this. I mean, right? It's not like for fun. It's just saying for the sake of saying. It really believe. And so thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Max.
Ricky, let's move over to you. Clearly, I know the question on everybody's mind is give us your thoughts on the way the race finished. Obviously, you're very, very happy to get out the winner.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm still shaking. But like all the other guys said, it's so special to, there's so many different storylines. You got Cadillac's Unfinished Business from the LMP program, which Max and my dad were both a part of, the first go around, and then, wrapping that up with, starting off with a win here in Daytona. And then you've got Max's last race, and we've been family for 20 years now, and he's taught us, everything we know. And we used to have classes with Max. He used to be the Professor X, and he'd come over to our house, and we'd have a pen and paper, and he'd teach us about downforce, and he'd teach us about overtaking. Today was a good example of one of those lessons, I think. That was an axe move.
Yes, it was.
And then to finish, I mean, it was an emotional day, regardless if we won the race to have our last race with Max, but to win was really cool. And obviously you got Jeff as well. I mean, to add to his amazing career is, it's a surreal experience. So just happy to be able to contribute to that.
Okay, Marshall.
Sorry, Wolfgang. I have two questions.
Make it three.
All right. First one's for you, Jeff. We'll give Ricky a moment here.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a talent spotter. Taylor Brothers have the kind of talent you think that should extend beyond sports cars? And if so, where would you like to see them?
All I've been thinking about the whole time that I've been together with these guys is how do I get them in some ovals in a bigger, heavier car? To me, you the way you recognize talent is to know what equipment that they're in. So when you're a teammate to them and you're in the same equipment, and you go out there in conditions that are very, very challenging, and you know your own capabilities, and then you see them excel the way that they did. One of the highlight moments for me that I thought was a crucial moment for this race was when Jordan was on slicks and it started raining. And they stayed out. And when he was out there on slicks and it started getting really wet, just the fact to get that car back to pit road without wrecking, to get the wets, I thought was an amazing moment. And then watching these guys just do what they did throughout the night in crazy conditions. And I had the experience of being in the wet, and I couldn't see anything. It was very hard to feel the car, and let alone push it. And they were in much more difficult conditions than I was in. And they were overtaking, building gaps. It's impressive. And so there's no doubt that that transfers over to other series, other cars. And, I've built enough of a bond with this group that I would love to see them get whatever opportunities were available to them out there. They've got the personality as well as the talent. That's what you're always looking for.
Last question is for you, Ricky. Before you guys came in, the number 5 Action Express team was in here. Felipe Albuquerque recounted the incident, had a bit of a interesting take where he said he closed the door and got hit. Those things tend not to work. You usually get hit to open up the door. Can you just tell me how you saw that take place?
I don't 100% understand. Closing the door and getting hit. I think that explains it, but I'd obviously been working on it for a while and looking at where we were strong and where we weren't strong, and it's the 24 hour, so you're going to, if everybody's going to take a risk. So the way I saw it, we came through GT traffic. I was closer than I had been. He'd been struggling in turn one. All their car didn't look very good there. And we were really strong on the brakes. And so I've thought about doing this for years and years, and this has always been something like people always open up after that little kink in turn one. They open their hands a little bit, and it's just so easy to release the brake there and pop in there. And if you get enough alongside, you can make it work. And I think he saw me coming. He saw me committing. And like he said, he closed the door. But I think Bo always talks about shared responsibility. And if he knew I was committing, why would you close the door and make us crash? But from my perspective, it's Max's last race. There's a lot of emotions going on. I wanted to win terribly. We were either going to make a move and do something and win, or sit there in second and wait for, you know, wait till next year, basically. So I didn't want to do that.
Holly, up.
All right. Sal is now with us, our co-host. So first of all, I want to welcome you back to the show, Sal.
Oh, hello,
okay,
Sharon.
Maybe
oh, sorry. I had it on mute.
Oh, okay.
I had to put the code back in. Get the phone to work.
Okay. Well, here we were just listening to the post-race audio from Wayne Taylor Racing after winning the Rolex 24 this weekend at Daytona. It was pretty interesting commentary. I don't know how much of that you heard, but I really enjoyed hearing from all of those drivers and their thoughts right after the race.
Yeah, actually, I heard the whole thing. That's why my phone went into, it went off. So then when I looked, I said, oh, man, I said, I better try and somehow get this thing programmed so I could jump right in.
Okay, well, I know you weren't really watching the races this weekend, but I thought it was really, really big for Wayne Taylor Racing to finally win that Rolex 24. It's something they've wanted to do for a long time. Another driver who won this weekend in the cars, CRA ARCA series, is Harrison Burton. That was a big win for him, and it was a pretty stout field, so he has to feel pretty good about beating all those drivers.
Yeah, well, it was a very stout field. You know, I kind of checked it out a little bit, you know, kind of caught up on it, and then I seen when they posted the results, probably a really good run race. I wish I could have gone and seen it or, you know, seen a video of it, but.
Yeah, we'll have to see if they post that later.
Yeah. Really strong field, though.
Yes, it was. And so, like I say, Harrison Burton's got to feel pretty good about winning against all those big-name drivers, including NASCAR's Eric Jones. You know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Eric Jones beating Kyle Busch a few years ago, and that's how he got his ride in NASCAR. Of course, Harrison Burton is racing the Can-Am Pro Series this season, but he's also racing some of the Camping World Truck Series races this season. Now, there's some other news that kind of came out today that I wanted to make sure we talked about. ThorSport Racing announced that Matt Crafton is going to be returning to the organization this year, but joining the organization this year is going to be Cody Coughlin. So that was big news coming out of ThorSport Racing today.
Yeah, it was, and it was pretty sad, you know, to see the, you know, Cameron Haley won't be back this year. You know, he'd like every other
it
driver,
is.
You know, he's struggling for, you know, for sponsorship. You know, gosh, you know, I really wish, you know, Cameron the best, you know, hope, you know, that he can find something. He's been a really good, strong supporter of the show, you know, and, you know, we've enjoyed having him all the way from then all the way, you know, from his, when he started in the Canadian States. But yeah, but it looks like ThorSport, they're going to really make another strong run at the championship. And, you know, the truck series is going to be really, it's going to be interesting this year.
It is going to be interesting. Of course, the caution clock is gone because of the new format that's going to be rolled out across all three of the series. But so it is going to be fun to watch and see what happens. Some more Camping World Truck Series news that came out today. Ryan Truex is going to be racing with Hattori Racing this season in the Camping World Truck Series. So really good to see him get a ride.
Yeah, and actually, I think the last time we heard about Hattori Racing was with Sergio Pena was running one of their Can-Am East cars when he left. When he left the Drive for Diversity program. And,
right.
I think that's what we heard about Hattori Racing was with Sergio Pena. Now they're moving up into the truck, so they're doing big things, doing good things. You know, gosh, it's hard to believe, you know, that we're getting, a team or, you know, in racing in general, because, you know, of course, everybody knows about Joe Gibbs coming into the ARCA series too, you know, and, you know, especially times now that it's, you know, it's tough times, you know, struggling times, you know, but they're all still willing to make a run at it.
Absolutely. You know, those are both feeder series, the K&N series program, as well as the ARCA Racing Series program. Those are feeder series into the NASCAR's top three. And as you mentioned, the competition is so tight with a ton of really talented young drivers in the mix. Sponsorship makes all the difference in the world, and so everybody is racing hard to get their name recognition out there. Now, speaking of that, we've got a driver that's going to be coming on here in a few minutes. Ruben Garcia Jr. Won the NASCAR Mexico Series in 2015. He was the youngest driver to do so at that time, and it's really exciting to see another NASCAR Mexico Series driver moving up into NASCAR in the K&N Pro Series program. Now, he raced there last year. He's part of the Drive for Diversity program last season. He's been recently announced just last week that he's going to be back with the program this season. Last year, as a rookie, he finished 10th in the series point standings. I got a feeling he's going to be racing hard for a championship this year.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. You know, these guys, you know, they come with a lot of desire, you know, and a lot of will. And it was kind of sad last year when I can't remember the driver's name. He was another Mexican kid. He grew up out here at Urendale. This is where he learned how to drive. And he was chosen for the team, and then he ended up not driving with the Drive for Diversity. He ended up racing a late model for about half the season, then he was gone. Then he just kind of disappeared. He was from Colombia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure who you're talking about there, Sal.
Gosh.
But Ruben Garcia kind of reminds me a little bit of Daniel Suarez, who also won that Mexico Toyota Series before he moved up into NASCAR K&N Pro Series, and was recognized, you know, as talent by Joe Gibbs Racing and bringing him up through the ranks. He's now racing the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series for the 2017 season, and I'm sure Ruben wants to follow along in those steps. He's a second-generation driver because his dad raced a lot in the Mexico Series, NASCAR Mexico Series as well.
Yeah, he's, he has it in his blood, you know what? And, you know, I don't like to say pedigree because then, you know, it sounds like, you know, like you're an animal. But, you know, I guess that's how some of them use pedigree, you know,
Well, he has good background in racing.
It's in his blood. Let's put it that way. It's in his bloodline. It sounds a little bit better.
Absolutely.
Than, you know, saying, you know, that he's then it's all pedigree because that pedigree just sounds, like he's a racehorse or something. But
well, the thing is that we know he's a really talented driver. He did really well in his rookie season, finishing 10th in the series point standings. He has been a NASCAR Next member for 2 years. He's been a Drive for Diversity member going into his second year this year with Rev Racing for the K&N Pro Series East. And I'm sure he's looking to improve on his results from his first season. And we'll talk to him about what his goals are. Ruben is here now, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him into the show. We've been talking you up, Ruben, and really excited to have you here talking about your career and racing with Rev Racing again for the 2017 season.
Hello, everyone. Good night. Yeah, for me, it's an honor to be here sharing some words with you tonight.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, Ruben. Let's get started with this, though. I know that you're a second-generation driver, and your dad was a race car driver with the NASCAR Mexico series. And talk about when you first realized that you wanted to become a race car driver just like your dad.
Yeah, I was, as you said, I was involved in racing before I was even born. So since I was really, really young, I remember going to the racetracks and behaving good during the week, so my mom can let me go with my dad and work on his race car and watch him from the grandstands racing. So I was in that atmosphere since I was really, really young, even before I could remember. So, but it's really different to be on the other side of the track, be on the grandstands and watch him, to being inside the car. So I think the moment I really thought this is what I would like to do is the first race I did on go-karts when I was about 5 years old. I just remember as a little kid having so much fun in those little cars that I really decided that was what I would like to do. And like the second moment that really like impacted me when I was really young was when I did my first race on a stock car. I was 14 by that time, and I had so much fun turning left, straight, and left again so many times during the race, passing cars and always being in contact with other drivers because I made my debut in a really, really short track, so it was a really tough track to avoid accidents. I was laughing and with a smile on my face all the time during the race that I just decided I would like to do that for as long as possible.
Absolutely. And you went on then to race in the V8 series, I think it was called, and you won a championship there. Then going on to win a championship in the NASCAR Mexico series, that had to be a great moment for you as well. At a track that your dad, you know, in a series where your dad had raced so many years.
Yes, for sure. And, well, it was like a dream come true for me because, as I told you, I grew up watching all these drivers, my dad included, racing. So when I was a little kid, I saw them as heroes, like, you know, like those stars. One day I would like to be like them. So then growing up and racing for wins and racing for a championship with those same drivers, it was like a big dream. It was huge for me. And since the very, you know, every driver, when you start the season, you have only one goal in mind, and it's winning the championship. So I started every season with the goal in mind, but I worked so hard in the 3 years before getting closer and closer every single year, finishing third on my second year, finishing second on my third year, and the fourth year finally got the championship. So it was like a big moment for me, not just because it proved that every hard effort, it will pay after a certain time, and also because that dream that I used to have when I was really young finally come true, and that opened for me many doors that I'm still working on right now, like being part of the V4D program last year.
All right. Now, Ruben, we have with us tonight our co-host, Sal Segala, and I know he has some questions for you as well, so I'm going to turn it over to him at this point.
Sure. First of all, Ruben, congratulations, you know, on the second, you know, on being, you know, coming back with the Drive for Diversity program. You know, me and Sharon, you know, we're talking, you know, a little bit, you know, about your background and, you know, you, of course, you need to set some of your background. What is one of the biggest things you see about racing in Mexico and racing here in the United States?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And probably the biggest thing I struggled with when I started racing here in the United States was the big difference in between the cars. I mean, yes, they are stock cars. They have V8 engines. They have four wheels. But the way they drive, the way they behave during the track is so different. But it actually took me at least 5 races to start getting used to them, to start understanding how these cars behave. They are way heavier. They have more power. So it took me a while to understand these cars. At the end of the day, well, it's kind of the same essence, but it does change how the car behaves during the race, how the car reacts to the changes you plan with your crew chief.
And you know, and actually, you know, we've had Daniel Suarez on the show, you know, a few times, and I met Daniel, and I met with some of the guys that work with Daniel. What was you know, of course, you know, there's always, you know, that we talk about, you know, is a language barrier, you know. You know, you have your crew chief, you have your team in Mexico, you know, who speaks your language real fluently. And then you come over to the United States, you know, and then all of a sudden you're given a different, you know, a different crew chief, you know, a different crew. How hard was it at first to break that language barrier, you know, to where your team, you know, understood, you know, exactly what you wanted in the car and what you like in the car?
Yeah, right. For sure, it was tough at the beginning because, well, to be honest, you know what was the most difficult stuff? To understand them inside the car with all the noise the car is making and with the earplugs, with the radio that it doesn't have the best quality we could ask for. It was really hard to understand my crew chief and my spotter by that time. Now I'm getting used to it. I have more experience with them, so I'm getting used to it. But it was very important by the first time, like you said, getting them to understand what I was trying to say about the car. It was really tough because I never knew if I was using the proper words to describe the feeling I was getting in the car. And sometimes like understanding the questions they were making to me exactly as they would like me to understand what they are trying to say. So it was tough at the beginning. Now my crew chief is a pretty experienced crew chief, so he have patience, and we have very good communication now, and I think it will be really, really good for me to come back this second season on the K&M Pro Race series with this same crew chief.
You know, and actually, you know, it's a big jump, you know, and it's a good jump. You know what? And there's a lot of talented drivers, a lot of people that realize in Mexico, you know that if given the chance out here, you know that, you know, they could, you know, that, you know, that, you know, that they could, you know, make an impact out here. So with this season coming up, you know, it's, you know, you've already gone through basically, you know, the, you know, like we call it the freshman season, and then it now comes in the sophomore season, you know, and so what's your outlook for it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. It's a very competitive series. We have a lot of drivers that they have been having a lot of success in other series, also sanctioned by NASCAR or not just sanctioned by NASCAR, that they have a lot of experience. They race about 50 or 60 races every year. So even though they are 18 years old, 19 years old, they are drivers with a lot of experience, with a lot of talent. So it's, even though the average age of the series is pretty low, they have a lot of experience for the age. So that's one of the things we have to deal with. But I feel very confident because Rev Racing is a team with a lot of experience, with people that are willing to help you in everything you need. So I feel on the right place. I feel I have really a chance with them to keep growing. And with the support I have from them, I feel confident. And all the stuff I learned from last year, I feel confident about getting a really good season this year.
Okay, thanks. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay. Ruben, you talked a little bit about racing with Rev Racing and this being your second year and feeling really good about the experience that you gained last year. But I want to talk a little bit about you've been 2 times in the NASCAR Next program, going into your second year now with the Drive for Diversity program. Talk about those 2 programs and what they've done to help support you in your journey, so to say, to coming into the K&N Pro Series?
Well, they are really, really helpful. They are a little bit different because the NASCAR Next program is more focused on getting you understand that you are a product for the sponsors. So making this product that it's called Ruben Garcia in this case, valuable for the sponsors to want you to have them, and not just sponsors, but also teams. And it really helped me understand that and to get better and improve on my off-track experience. And with Drive for Diversity program, I think without this program, there would be no way, or I wouldn't see any way to make this step of becoming the NASCAR Mexico Series champion and then start racing a full-time season in the United States to get the people in the United States that need to get the people that I need to get to know, start watching me, what I'm capable of, and start to show my talent.
Okay. I know they're really big programs for young drivers that are coming into the sport and everything. And you talked a little bit about your, you know, you've got that pretty much the same crew chief that you're going to be working with in the Can-Am Pro Series. Are there any other people that you want to shout out from your going into your 2017 season? Any sponsors, other team members that you want to shout out that have been of support to you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, Rep Racing and the Drive for Diversity program for giving me the opportunity to be with them one more year. And I'm really excited to what this season will bring to us. Also, everyone on the number six car, my crew chief, my car chief, and everyone that has been putting a lot of effort, Jefferson and Christian, Max Eagle from Rev Racing. I always feel a lot of support from them. So, and they helped me a lot to grow and to feel always home, even though I'm miles and miles away from my hometown. And NASCAR for giving me the opportunity to be racing for them. And, well, this year I'll be racing the Castle Products Honda Generators number 6 Toyota. So I hope everyone can pull for me during the season.
Okay. Now, we mentioned Daniel Suarez a little bit earlier. I think Sal brought that up. Tell me a little bit, have you had a chance to talk to Daniel Suarez? Because he's kind of made the same journey that you're making now through the NASCAR Mexico Series and Can-Am Pro Series.
Yes, well, we know each other since we were racing in Mexico Series some years before, and we still have contact. Now he's a little bit more busy with this new project that he has going on, but we still have the chance to talk a little bit. Sometimes we go to the mountain bicycle together, and for sure he's an example for us because all the things that he is doing right now will open new opportunities for more drivers, not just like me, but all drivers outside the United States that are trying to make their way into the NASCAR series.
Absolutely, and he's certainly a great role model. As Sal mentioned, we've both had a chance to talk with Daniel, and he's such a gentleman and very. I think it's great to see him doing so well in the sport. And I see you kind of following along in those footsteps. When you look at your 2017 season this year, what are your expectations as far as you finished 10th last year in the series? What are your goals and aspirations for this season? What do you have your sights set on?
Well, I think that if we keep the momentum that we built on the last five races in the last season, we can definitely think on looking for a top five at the end of the year in the standings. And why not? I would like to think that we will be able to fight for at least one or a couple of wins during the year. If we keep this momentum going, for sure we will be able to start fighting up front and looking for wins.
Okay, well, that sounds really good. I think I think we have a lot to look forward to in the Can-Am Pro Series this season. Now, do you have any goals to perhaps race in any of the other series this season? Are you going to go, let's say, to the West?
Yeah, well, that's the plan is obviously to keep growing into the national series. We're looking for some opportunity to get some more races and to live that process that I lived last year of getting used to that change of the different car, different tracks, different rivals in the track, pit stops because we don't have pit stops, that kind of stuff. So we're looking to do something during the year. Nothing for sure right now. I hope we can announce something anytime soon, but we are still working on that.
Okay. With that, I'm going to pass the baton over to Sal Segale again. He's got some more questions for you.
Sure.
Okay, Ruby. Sharon, she's covered a lot. You know, some of the questions. That I was going to ask you, but there's always the question of sponsorship comes up. What happens after Rev Racing? What if Rev Racing doesn't pick you up next year, or you get a sponsor next year? So, how hard is sponsorship to get out here? To continue your racing program.
Well, it's always hard as a driver to get sponsors to keep growing, because there are a bunch of drivers with many talent that they are looking for the same as you are looking for. So it is really, really hard, and it's even harder when you were racing in Mexico, living in Mexico, and trying to get a sponsor in the United States. Now, with me living here and racing for Rev Racing a full-time season in one of the United States, it turns a little bit easier. Not say easier, but it's not as hard as it used to be like 2 years ago. But probably what Daniel is doing right now and proving that I think he will bring a little bit of more attention of some other different companies that they are targeting a different audience, like more Latinos, more Hispanic people. They will start looking a little bit more in NASCAR, and probably that's one of the opportunities they will start looking for. Try to match with one of those companies that want to target Latinos or Hispanic, and use me as a spokesperson, to call it this way, to get a sponsorship.
So as you're growing up, who was one of the drivers, in the Sprint Cup series, that you kind of looked up to and thought, one of these days I'd like to be, a driver like him?
Well, I really enjoy watching Tony Stewart. I like how he drives. I like his style. But now, he's retired, so I will try to look for another one to pull for.
And Ruben, I want to say, good luck this upcoming season. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Ruben, I thought you brought up a really great point with, the sponsorship point and bringing in a whole new market, not only from a sponsor point of view, but from a fan point of view, too. NASCAR is certainly looking to do that with the Drive for Diversity program, and that plays a huge, huge role in that. So thank you for sharing that with us, as well as all of your comments tonight. Now, I know your first race is coming up on February the 19th at New Smyrna Speedway. What are you doing to prepare for that? It's going to be your second time there, I believe, right?
Yes, it's going to be the second time. I feel way more prepared this time. To be honest, the first time I ran at New Smyrna, it was a complete surprise for me, because it was the really first time I front a race on a K&N car. So we were decent during practice, but during the race, I honestly felt like a rookie. But now we have 14 races on our belt, so I feel pretty confident coming back to this track. I still do some training on the simulators on this track. I've been talking with my crew chief and to see what changes we can do to get our car faster and more consistent during the race. And on my side, I'm still working on my physical training and mental training to get into that race in the best shape as possible.
Okay, well, I know fans are looking forward to the season getting started. Ruben, let's go over your social media contacts so that fans know how they can follow you throughout this season.
Sure, they can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ruben Garcia 4 and Facebook like Ruben Garcia Jr.
Okay, and of course at Rev Racing you can always follow along with its, what's going on with their entire organization at revracing.com. So, Ruben, thanks so much for being here, and again, congratulations on your second year with the Drive for Diversity program in 2017 and all of your accomplishments throughout your career. We're really looking forward to this season with you guys, and we really wish you the best. We hope we can tap you on the shoulder again sometime during the season to come back and chat with us again.
Yes, for sure. Anytime, I'll be here. Happy to talk to you again.
Okay, Ruben. Take care. And do you have any races that are coming up before New Smyrna that you want to make sure you mention?
Before New Smyrna, no. Right now, we're just working on our preparation for New Smyrna. And then we'll have New Smyrna, a little break, and our second race at Greenville.
Okay. That sounds perfect. So, again, thanks a lot, Ruben, and for being here tonight. We had a good time chatting with you.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was our guest, Ruben Garcia, Jr., with Rev Racing. He's part of the NASCAR Next program as well as the Drive for Diversity program this year. And looking forward to New Smyrna Speedway with the K&N Pro Series for the entire 2017 season. So, Sal, I thought Ruben gave us a really great interview.
Yeah, he did. It was a lot of information, and it's nice to see that they're making their way down here. I should throw this out there, but before Trump supposedly builds his wall, at least we can get him down here to do some racing.
Well, we'll keep the politics out of it, but I'm really glad.
Oh, I know. You know what? I didn't. You know what? It's just ridiculous. You know what? But you know what? These guys, they bring so much talent. I mean, you look at Juan Pablo Montoya. You know what he did when?
Yes.
You know when he came in the IndyCar. You know what? And even in NASCAR. You know what? He wasn't given the best equipment, and he made the best of it. You know what? And he relished in the moment. And you know what? And he never quit. You know what? He always gave it his 110%. You know what? And and that's how these guys are.
Well, I think Ruben said it best. He's saying there's a lot of talented drivers that are in the Mexico series, but not all of them get the opportunity that he's getting. And it is a big opportunity, and unfortunately, only a few can get that opportunity. Doing the best you can on the racetrack and learning what he's learning from, like he said in the NASCAR Next program, he's learning all of the things that it takes that you have to do off the track to get your name recognition and, potential sponsors. There's a lot of talent out there across the board, really. And the drivers that get that opportunity really have to make the most of it. So it's really great that he's getting that opportunity, and I think we'll see some good things from Ruben Garcia. You know, think about just the challenges, Sal, of communication, and you did a good job of bringing that up during the interview. That's a challenge that somebody from the United States doesn't have to go through. And people like Daniel Suarez and now Ruben Garcia, they're doing a great job of overcoming that.
Yeah, you know, Sharon, and that was one of the things that I liked. And I saw a bunch of pictures when I used to go to Phoenix to go shoot the Canon West race. They always ran the Mexico Series race, there's, a handful of people in the stands, to watch, you walk around the pits, you talk to the fans, and, oh, man, these guys, they're going to crash. Well, everybody crashes, but you know what? They're given a chance. NASCAR gave them a chance to showcase, their drivers. You know what? And it was neat, to see Daniel Suarez, go from,
you know, racing with his Mexico series, you know, then jump into a, you know, K&N West car, you know, right after. And, you know, there are a few drivers, you know, a few Hispanic drivers, you know, who were jumping back and forth. But you know what, they went out there, you know what, and I remember walking through the pits as they were prepping the cars, and I mean, these guys are working just as hard as everybody else. And I'll tell you, some of those paint schemes on those cars from Mexico, they are some really, I mean, they are colorful, nice. I mean, they look really
mm-hmm.
nice out on the track, you know, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because everything was Pemex, and a lot of people don't know, you know, that that's a gas station. You know, so, of course, in a lot of gas stations, you know, well, only one, Pemex, because I think that's the only one they have in Mexico. But, you know, it was kind of neat, you know, to see some of the places, you know, that would we go over to Mexico, you know, to see them on the cars over here, you know. You know, whether it be a taco
mm-hmm.
stand or, you know, or a grocery store, a place of business, you know, but it was neat to see them, even though they weren't racing in their country, but they're still supporting their drivers over here. You know, and I always told, you know, we've had Manny Pavita on the show, you know, who kind of helped Daniel Suarez get a start, and if you know,
mm-hmm.
and if, you know, and you know, that was one thing that me and Danny used to talk about. We used to walk through the pits over there, you know, was to see all the Mexico sponsors instead of American sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and again, I think we have a lot to look forward to with the Can-Am Pro Series and Ruben Garcia Jr. at Rev Racing this season. I want to kind of turn the tables just a little bit here, Sal, because our next guest will be coming on here shortly. You know, the Winter Showdown is about to happen coming up here in February at Kern County Raceway, and your guest Steve Hughes is coming on shortly. There's a lot going on at Kern County Raceway this season, though.
Oh yeah, they're in there. I forget how many seasons they're had. It's amazing. It seemed like just yesterday I was getting ready to shoot the very first their inaugural race, and now here they are, you know, seasons away, you know, getting ready for, you know, the third annual Winter Showdown, and I remember shooting the first one. I was like, wow, you know, it's hard to believe, you know, they're already in their third one, you know, and the prize every year keeps getting higher and higher, and the competition keeps getting better and better. And I mean, this showdown really, really picked up a load of steam this year.
It really has, and there are some really big names that are going to be at that event. We've talked about it in the past with Kyle Busch and Eric Jones both going to be out there. But some of the regulars, Derek Thorne is certainly a favorite out there. And I don't know, is Bubba Pollard going to be racing this year?
Oh, yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back to defend. His two wins, yeah.
Okay. So talk a little bit about Steve Hughes.
You know, Steve Hughes, he took over for Stephen Blakeslee, but Steve's a really good guy. You know what? I've gotten to know him. He used to do PR at when the old Mesa Marine was open. So when they replaced Stephen, they brought Stephen. Steve's a really good guy to work with. You know what? I remember the first year that I you know went down and met him. You know, I knew of him. You know, and I finally got to meet him, and you know, we talked a little bit of racing, you know, and kind of, you know, what his outlook was for the track, you know what they were trying to, you know, garner and all that, and you know, I mean, if anybody said that short track racing out here in Southern California is doing great, you know what, they'd be a liar. I mean, it's struggling, but you know what, he hangs in there, he does the best job he can. Does a heck of a job promoting the track, and you know, a lot of people they talk about, you know, the biggest thing, you know, is promoting your, you know, the track that you work at, you know, and he does a heck of a job doing it. I mean, he's constantly putting press releases out, you know, photos of what's going on at the track. You know, he keeps the people on social media, you know, well informed, you know, on what's going on, you know, as far as, you know, all the other events they have there. Because now, not only do they have the half mile. Half mile asphalt track, you know, they also have a dirt track. They have a motocross track, and from what I understand, that dirt track is really, it's really getting popular. There's a couple more dirt tracks out there, but I heard the current is really getting big, big names out there, and they're getting a lot of racing, a lot of competition out there. So that's really good for the track. I mean, I'm sure they're not done improving on it. I'm sure they got a lot more, that they're going to be doing in the future.
Absolutely, and it's well known actually that it's a really nice track out there in Bakersfield, California, and it seems to me like they've got a really good reputation. I think the SRL Southwest Tour has really helped that with this winter showdown, and the K&N Pro Series races out there as well, the K&N Pro Series West. Their season opener is there, isn't it?
No, their season opener is in Tucson this year.
Oh, that's right. They changed it.
They go from Tucson, and then they have a Thursday night race at Kern, and then they actually they're doing the championship race at Kern this year, which I think was a great move for NASCAR, because you want the drivers, you want them to race, and you want them to be able to dictate the championship. You don't want it to be a little quarter mile or a 3/8 mile track, where sure people want to see banging and bumping and grinding, but you also want to see, the drivers have room to race, to be able to, to battle, for a championship. And I think by bringing it back to Kern, was a good move on NASCAR. And even last year, talking with Kip Childress, even though it was his last season with the West Series, I told him, I said NASCAR either needs to close it out at Kern or they need to close it out at Irwindale, which is another half mile track. I said, one of the two. I said, it's hard to close out your season on a small track like that, because we're used to closing out at Phoenix, which was a 1 mile track, which really made for good racing. But I'll tell you, the racing at Kern is really, really good. I mean, you got to get out there and see it. It's a really super fast half mile track. And even talking with Derek Thorne about it, and I asked Derek, I go, what's one of the reasons that might keep a driver from racing Kern? And he says, Sally, goes, it's the speed. He goes, it is a very fast track. He goes, and you have to be on your game. And he says, to win here, he goes, you have to be on your game. And he goes, and you have to have good equipment. He says, or you're.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that. The drivers from back east, they bring good equipment, and that's why, and it shows, that's why Bubba Pollard has won the first two showdowns.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out who the third showdown winner is going to be here in a couple of weeks. While we're waiting for Steve Hughes to come, I will just mention some other news that kind of came out today, too, is that Phoenix Raceway is doing a modernization of their track, and it's probably not going to be finished until the 2018 season. But what do you think of those changes that they're proposing, Sal?
You know what? It's good and it's bad. It's good, that they're doing something, as far as, trying to improve on something that they just improved on, was it 4 or 5 years ago, when they could reconfigure the track, they have that little dog leg, coming out of turn two. I hate to see them take the infield camping away, because two very good friends of mine, they have a spot in the infield, and it's always nice, in between practice rounds, or even, on Sunday morning, to go over there, and they're right there, where the driver's hauler's pulling it out. And it's just really nice, to go over there, and sit down with them and, talk with them, and eat their, breakfast, they always cook breakfast or lunch, and when I'm walking back and forth, from turns 1 and 2 to 3 and 4, sometimes I'll take the back road, and it's nice to walk by there and, say hi to Sue and Rick and everyone else that's over there, and even when I take Sandy, my fiance, a lot of times she'll sit with them during the race instead of sitting in the stands, because you go on top of the motorhome, on top of the trailer, and you can see the race from there. And they took all that away, So, I mean, they're really upset and bummed about that, But not only them, it's just the fans alone.
you know, that makes it
really right. Well, you know, from what I've been reading, it seems like some of the drivers have been kind of, you know, we're used to them saying that, you know, they don't like it when a track changes. But some of them seem to be thinking that this is a good move by Phoenix to make some of the on-track changes as far as moving the finish line and some of the other things that they're doing.
Yeah, you know, moving the start-finish line, you know, to the, you know, off the front stretch, you know, was kind of, you know, it's kind of surprising, you know. That was one thing I never expected, but I guess, you know what, I guess, you know, you always have to expect the unexpected, you know, but that
right.
was one thing I never expected, you know, was for them, you know, to move it up the way they did. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because now they're going to be finishing, you know, in the turn, you know, which a lot of the passing does take place in the turn, and it's wide enough, you know, to where they can come three, and if they have to even come four wide. So I think what they're looking for is a more exciting finish.
Right. So, again, we'll have to kind of see how that all plays out. But that might explain, too, Sal, why it's not at Phoenix this season, the season finale for that Can-Am Pro Series program.
You know what?
So,
and actually they took it out last year.
The season finale, yeah. Yeah, you're right,
yeah.
They did. I know, getting back to Kern County Raceway and the winter showdown that'll be coming up, I know I get the releases from Brian Olson. They've got a TV commercial now that's out talking about that winter showdown that's coming up. The dates, by the way, are coming up pretty soon. For that showdown, it'll be February 10th. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. It will be. There's a kickoff party the night before, and fans can still call in to get tickets for that event if they'd like to be a part of that. The dates again are. February 9th through the 11th at Bakersfield, California's Kern County Raceway Park. They've got $150,000 in prize money, with $30,000 going to the race winner. So that's pretty hefty.
Yeah, it is. And actually, last year they had a $10,000 bonus. So Bubba Pollard ended up going home, taking home a complete $40,000 paycheck last year.
Yeah, that's huge, and that's one of the reasons why I think there's probably a lot of drivers that are looking to participate in that event. They will have the kickoff party on Thursday night, as I mentioned before. You've got Kyle Busch, Eric Jones that'll be participating along with Bubba Pollard and Derek Thorne. All race favorites for this year, and they can still get tickets. You can call the SRL office at 661-679-4681, or you can call Kern County Raceway at 661-835-1264 if you want to get tickets for that event. I think it's going to be huge, and probably bigger than we've seen the previous 2 years, Sal.
Yeah, I really think it. I think this one's going to be a lot bigger. Then they have the Kyle Busch. They have the Kyle Busch ticket package where you get a reserved seat, and they're only doing so many of them. But you get a reserved seat, and you get a meet and greet with Kyle Busch. You get an autograph, and you get a photo op with him.
Oh, you can't beat that.
No,
it's
a really good deal, and I don't. From what I understand, they've been selling a lot of them.
Yep, I think so. It wouldn't surprise me if they have a sellout for this event, Sal, with a lot of folks attending to see all these great drivers out there at Kern County Raceway. What other things should fans look for with this race that's coming up? I know we've got Brian Olson coming on next week, too.
Yeah, actually, I just got a text from Brian, and Steve's calling in now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so as soon as he comes, okay, there he is. Why don't you go ahead and give him an introduction, Sal, because Steve is here right now.
All right. Our next guest is a media director, PR director at Kern County Raceway, and of course, we're starting to do our pre stuff for the winter show that's coming up in 2 weeks at Kern County Raceway, and it's looking forward to a really good race, a really good event, and like me and Sharon were talking right now, it's picking up a load of steam. So with that, we want to welcome Steve Hughes to the show, so he can kind of give us a little bit more info and as far as how to get tickets and what the fans can look forward to. So with that, we want to welcome Steve Hughes to the show.
Hey, Sal. Hey, Sharon. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I'm calling in a little late. Sorry about that.
It's okay, Brian. You know what, Brian. Steve, you sound like Brian on the phone. I swear, when did you talk right out? I don't know. Brian's next week, not this week. But gosh, you guys sound so much alike. But, you know, Steve, it's once again, we're talking, you know, it's the third annual, winter showdown. Seems like this is the first annual. I mean, time just flies by. So, you know, with the big weekend coming up in 2 weeks, what's one of the biggest things that the fans can look forward to when they come out to your track?
Well, first off, Sal, Sharon, I just want to say thanks for having me on again, and I want to say thanks to the folks from the SRL for choosing Kern County Raceway for this event. You know, they had this idea 3 years ago, got put together pretty quick, had some great racing, and as you said, 3 years flies by, and the third annual is coming up on February 10th and 11th, Friday and Saturday night, two-day show, and wow, what talk about some momentum, getting some big drivers. Of course, you know, two-time and the only winner, Bubba Pollard, is back to defend his title. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago we got news that Kyle Busch, 2015 Cup champion, is going to be not only participating and competing in the event, but is going to have a great meet and greet at the racetrack the day of the Winter Showdown 250. So that's been the headline that's been really dominating what we've been doing. Not only a lot of great racers from across the nation, but to have a driver of his caliber who supports super late model short track racing with his own team. And he's coming out to Kern County Raceway. It's a pretty big deal for us and a huge deal for the Winter Showdown.
And you know, Steve, it's funny because we always talk to the drivers about sponsorship, you know, how hard it is to get, you know, people to, you know, sponsor different things, you know, as far as racing, you know, and it seems like the Winter Showdown, you know what, of course, you know, you got, you know, Spears Manufacturing, you know, the SRL that comes in and hosts the event, Kern County Raceway, you know, at the park and all your sponsors. But then, once again, we got Glenn Davis, you know, who's you know, with Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse, you know, who's also joined in, and Carlos Vera with 5150 Energy Drink.
Yeah, so many great sponsors on this that have been really not only supporting the Spears Southwest Tour Series, but have jumped on board with the Winter Showdown. Some others, you know, SA Camp, of course, 5150 Energy Drink, and the Carlos Vieira Foundation, Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse, Surface Pumps, you know, with the Bobby Durrett Fast Time Award. It really does take a whole community to pull off one of these events, and it's great sponsors. I mean, when you look at the bottom of the program, they're definitely all mentioned there, and you know, speed51.com doing their work on promoting this event nationwide. They'll once again be there both days, Friday and Saturday, for that event. It does take a lot of great sponsors to jump on board and make this event happen. And, you know, Brian Olson with the Spear Southwest Tour puts all that together, and he does a fantastic job there.
You know, and actually, I seen another one up in the corner that we forgot, which was Four Star Fruit, which is part of the Campbell Motorsports racing organization.
Yeah, certainly. And even some hometown folks, actually our own city, which is Visit Bakersfield. You know, that's the organization that promotes our town and what it all has to offer. Visit Bakersfield is putting on the media luncheon to kind of kick things off on Thursday afternoon before they fire the engines for the first practice there. And so even our, you know, folks that support our city and promote our city are on board. It would take us the entire interview to list all the sponsors and partners for this third annual Winter Showdown. We definitely couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? Let's kind of talk about the drivers a little bit. You know, you mentioned Kyle Busch, of course, Eric Jones, three times, you know, SRL champion, Derek Thorne, two time, the only winner of the showdown, you know, Bubba Pollard. You know, you start looking up and, you know, Christian McGee's coming back out, Dustin Ash, and of course, you can't forget, you know, about all the drivers from back east, you know, that are making the trip out here, you know, which is, you know, gosh, I mean, you know, the names go on and on, you know, Preston Peltier, you know, gosh, I mean, Dan Holtz, who old man Dan Holtz, who won a race last year, you know, Chris Eggleston from Colorado, you know, Brandon White's coming out, you know, from up north, you know, then of course, you know, then you have the, you know, all the other, you know, Persley, who's, you know, an old two-time Canon West champion.
Yeah, Greg Persley coming out, and all those drivers' names that you mentioned, they all definitely have a shot at that $30,000 to win, and it does attract some of the best drivers in super late model racing in the country. What really surprised me is how well the Northwest is going to be supported this year. There are, I believe there's double-digit drivers coming down from the Northwest to participate in the third annual Winter Showdown. So we're really looking for a good 250 laps. You know, we'll start 36 cars on Saturday night for 250 laps, just all over the United States. And it's garnered national attention from the first day this thing was announced. It's been two fantastic races. We're looking at some great weather here in Bakersfield on the long forecast is what we're seeing on the 10-day. Everything's looking good there. And $30,000 to win and $3,000 to start. You know, the SRL and the Southwest Tour Series with Spears really worked hard to make sure that the drivers that were, you know, making that long trip from the snow-covered northeast and in the southeast, that it was really worth it to them. Just making the show is going to be a great payday for them.
And, you know, Stephen, with that, I'm going to turn it over to our show host, Sharon.
Okay. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Well, we're happy to talk to you. I know Kern County Raceway is a relatively new track. Sal and I were talking about that a little bit earlier. And you've had the Winter Showdown now the last 2 years. You're going into the third year, as we've talked about. But you've got a lot of other events that are going on this season at Kern County Raceway. What are some of the highlights of other events that are taking place this season?
Well, Sharon, I appreciate you asking about our regular season events. Of course, to kick things off with the third annual Winter Showdown, we're getting ready to go into our fifth full season as a NASCAR-sanctioned facility. We'll start the year off on a Thursday night. We're calling it Thursday Night Thunder. It'll be race number two for the Napa 500 Challenge. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's basically four races in 7 days to start the K&N Pro Series West season. They'll start in Tucson on the 18th in conjunction with the Cup Series visiting Phoenix the next day. They'll race the Napa 150 there. They'll come to Kern County Raceway on March 23rd and race the Napa 150 at our facility. And then travel down to Irwindale Speedway that weekend and race twin 100-lap main events for a total of 500 laps between the three tracks. And if one driver can be fortunate enough, have the talent, and obviously there's got to be some luck involved there to win all four races, Napa Auto Parts is putting up a $50,000 bonus for that driver that can win all four races. And we're just so blessed to be part of that deal. You know, this West Coast swing that the Cup Series runs in early to late March, you know, the K&N Pro Series West kind of jumped on that on that train and is kind of following the Cup Series through the Southwest and into Southern California to finish up with that Napa Auto Parts Challenge. 500 laps of racing, and if you can win all four of those races, it's a $50,000 bonus for your team. That's how we start the year. And then we'll go into our NASCAR Whelen All-American Series on April 1st. We'll have 22 events starting on March 23rd and running through November 19th. Some of the highlights there, of course, are the Spear Southwest Tour Series events. We've got Bulwark FR on board as a sponsor for those two series events, one in the spring on April 22nd and one in the fall on October 28th. The Lucas Oil Modifieds will make their second trip to Kern County Raceway for a points race, and that'll be on July 1st, which is General Production Service, the parent company to Kern County Raceway. It's their 50th anniversary, and our big Salute to America fireworks spectacular. We'll also have a second K&N race. We're very proud of this one. On November 4th, we'll host the championship season finale and crown a champion at Kern County Raceway for the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West. I can't thank Bill McAnally Racing enough for his effort in making sure that we had some sponsorship dollars to host two NASCAR K&N Pro Series West races this year. And another big one is the Davey Hamilton's King of the Wing. That's where you see the 410 sprint cars, wing sprint cars on asphalt, the fastest vehicles that have been on the big half mile at KCRP, and that'll be on October 19th, our season finale. And something that's really special to us is we announced a few weeks ago that Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus Live will be coming on September 10th to Kern County Raceway. So a lot of great attractions, great racing. Of course, the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series for our weekly shows, but with eight pretty large events during 2017. We're going to be very proud of our season number five.
I think so. You've got a lot of really great events that you outlined there. And, you know, I'm looking at the entry list here, too, for the Winter Showdown, getting back to that. You've got quite a few people on this list that are from Bakersfield.
Absolutely. You know, we're very well represented with local drivers. David Mayhew and Johnny White, Derek Thorne, Buddy Shepard, all great drivers that really have a shot at winning that $30,000 at their hometown track. So they'll be well represented, and I'm sure they'll bring a large following of race fans with them to watch them for the 250 laps.
I think so. We're looking forward to it, that's for sure. Sal, I'm going to hand the baton back to you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Steve, why the change in the schedule this year? I know the first year we went Friday, Saturday. We had the rain on Saturday, the monsoon that flooded out the infield. We raced on Sunday. And then last year we had this Friday, Saturday, Sunday show. And this year we're back to Friday and Saturday.
Well, you know, with NASCAR moving the Daytona 500 later in the month, something they haven't done in as long as I can remember, Sal, you know, it's the final weekend of February is when NASCAR will start their season. That kind of forced our hand a little bit to change the date of the Winter Showdown, which has been beneficial. We're still after, you know, speed weeks on the East Coast, but we've got an opportunity to get some great drivers to come out to Kern County Raceway. But with that being said, moving it up earlier in the month, you know, we like the Friday night, we like the Saturday night. You know, when we did that first one and we were rain delayed and we ended up running on Sunday afternoon, we thought, hey, let's give that Sunday afternoon a shot. And, you know, we ran the first day on Saturday and then came back on Sunday for year two. But we just like that Saturday night short track racing. So we changed the format back to the Friday-Saturday, and I think the race fans are going to really enjoy it. As I said, the weather's looking pretty good here in the Central Valley of California. And then that does give us that optional day on Sunday, just in case that R word should happen to peek into our vocabulary that weekend.
Yeah, which is relaxation, right?
Exactly right, Sal. Good job.
That's what I, every time someone mentions it, I said, you know what, I said, for us photographers and us media people, that's relaxation. That gives us a chance to sit down and relax. But you know what, Steve? When I was out there for that last SRL race, I noticed you guys did some track improvements. You guys added some, if I'm not mistaken, you added some banks of lights in turns 1 and 2. And then, of course, you have that little motocross track, Ruista Park. And I don't know if you guys changed the light bulbs and went to the LEDs or whatever they are, but the track seemed a lot more brighter, a lot more vibrant.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate you saying that, but, you know, from day one, that Musco lighting that's been up there at Kern County Raceway has been installed. We haven't changed anything there. We have made some improvements to our facility as far as Kern County Raceway Park goes. Our dirt track is now in full operation, getting ready to go into its second season. And the motocross track runs on a weekly basis. After these, drought-breaking rains that we've had to take about a month off of the motocross facility. But they'll be back in action. But those lights are all the same. Maybe you're just looking at our track a little differently, Sal. Maybe your eyes were a little more wide open and really really enjoying the facility.
You know what? I've always enjoyed it, but I don't know, for some reason, when I was up there, I was talking with, I forget who else was up. I think it was Steve Himmelstein. And I think Steve was the one that mentioned to me, and I'm one that, okay, yeah, you know, it is better, you know what, but, you know, it's always been a nice facility, and I'll tell you, when Speed 51 put up the best food at a track, you cannot beat the pastrami sandwich down in the infield that guy makes. I tell everybody, you know what? I've been to that place in Santa Barbara where they, gosh, I can't remember the name offhand, but it's like world famous there. Guy Fieri went over there, and every time I go to Kern, always make sure. And I don't care if Byron tells me go up to the suite and eat. You know, Byron, I'm sorry. I said I have to eat that pastrami because that thing is so good.
Yeah, Gary and Deidre Smith do a great job for us down there as our concessionaires in the pits, and they take a lot of pride. That huge smoker that they have down there definitely doesn't go unnoticed. We had some folks that traveled in from North Carolina to do some testing today, and that's the first thing they did was walked over and checked out Gary's smoker before they actually got the car on the racetrack and did some testing. So we're very proud of our concessionaires down in the pits, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Sal. And you know, we work hard to try and make that experience at Kern County Raceway a good one, from the guys that travel a long way to our local race fans. We just want to make that experience a great one so they'll tell their friends and come back and join us all season long.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, you guys do an excellent job there, you know, all the way from the front when you walk it through the ticket stands all the way, you know, like I was telling Sharon, you know, all the way up into the office, you know, with yourself, and then, you know, with now with Larry Collins, you know, being up in there, and I see, you know, I said the facility is really well run. You know, I just got to give a shout out to Debbie Mills, you know, who handles all the, you know, credential, you know,
yeah,
wristbands.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a heck of a job in that little trailer out there. I feel bad for her sometimes, but she's well taken care of. She's got water, she's got snacks, so she's good out there. But, you know, Steve, I will see you in a couple weeks. You know, I just want to tell you congratulations again on what's going on with the showdown. But not only that, what's going on with the track? That dirt track is getting a lot of recognition. It's getting a lot of press. You know, and the main thing is it's getting a lot of people talking about wanting to race there. And so I just want to tell you, good job with that. You know, with all of you guys at Kern County, and we'll see you coming up. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
Okay, Steve. So glad to have you here tonight to help us promote the Winter Showdown and Kern County Raceway for their 2017 season. Before you go, let's make sure fans know how they can follow you on social media to kind of keep up with, you know, all of the activities that are taking place there this season.
You bet. Well, The first and foremost spot is kernraceway.com. You can go there for all the information, but we're very proud of our social media presence as well. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Kern Raceway. So if you just search Kern Raceway, and you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, we appreciate that. That's where you get all the up-to-date information, and please visit our website. That is kernraceway.com. You can purchase tickets there, find out information, and also go right to our three social media sites from our homepage. Sharon and Sal, on a personal note, I do appreciate you taking the time and inviting me to talk on your show. I always appreciate it. Thanks for letting me promote the racetrack. And we're just so glad that you guys continue to do this for all the race fans. Short track, big track, dirt track, it doesn't really matter. You guys do a great job for the sport, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate that, and always look forward to chatting with you when we get an opportunity, Steve. We know you're a busy guy, but we hope you'll come back and visit with us again somewhere down the road here.
Anytime, and I promise next time I will be on time. I appreciate you letting me be a little bit talkative, so thank you so much.
Okay, take care and have a great season out there, okay?
All right, and thanks. Bye, Sal. Have a great evening.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That was Steve Hughes from Kern County Raceway, and, boy, they've got a lot going on out there this season, Sal. And I really like what they're doing with this start of the K&N Pro Series season. And the fact that Kern County Raceway is a part of that is really huge. I was looking at the dates on that. That's all happening within a week's period of time, those four races.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I'm fortunately doing all of them. So basically I'll be driving from that weekend. I'll be driving up to, because I can't see flying up to Tucson. So I'll be making the drive up to Tucson for the opener. And then that Thursday night, and then Kern's only an hour and 45 minutes, and then driving home Thursday night, going to work Friday, and then going back to Irwindale, which is, luckily, Irwindale is just down the street.
Right. Well, are you going to be at a racetrack this weekend, Sal?
No, this weekend, I don't even know what I have planned for this weekend. I don't think I'm doing anything. I saw one of my cameras got sick at the Supercross, so I have it in the hospital right now. He's getting operated on.
Oh dear.
So,
well,
I know,
we wish your camera the best.
I need it. So I was telling the camera doctor. I said, dude, I said it has to be ready by next weekend. He goes, oh, don't worry. He goes, just leave him here a few weeks. He goes, you burned him out last year. He said, so he just needs some rest and relaxation, and he'll be ready to go. So.
Okay. Well, as always, I really enjoyed doing the show with you tonight, Sal. We always appreciate the work that you put into helping us get some of the guests that are on the show here tonight. And I'll look forward to talking with you again next Monday night. Can you believe we're getting into February now? That'll be February 6th.
I know. Don't even remind me. I can't even believe it's the end of the month.
I know, the first month is down already. February 6th, we'll be back here 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for NASCAR and Race Talk. And, you know, stay tuned to both at Sal Sagala, at Sal underscore Sagala, and at Fan for Racing site for all the latest as far as our guest lineup for next Monday night. I'm looking forward to it. And the closer we get to February and into February, the more exciting it gets about the race and season getting started.
Yeah, that is true. It's just right here around the corner, and pretty soon we'll be full steam ahead, you know, as the,
absolutely,
you know, the season gets started.
Absolutely. And again, Sal, thanks for all you do. We appreciate all of our listeners for tuning in, and we hope you'll tune in again next Monday night. And with that, I think we're going to call it a wrap, Sal. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Okay. Everyone have a good evening.
And take care now.
Okay. Goodbye.
Good night.